I feel like your one role that everyone wants to know about was Hannah Montana.
Oh yes.
So Hannah Montana.
Found sort of like TikTok. Tinder dates.
It really is.
It's sort of like Tinder dates.
It really is.
Putting You're talking about West area. Hollywood. Yeah. I'm sorry to anyone who lives in West Hollywood. I'm sorry to anyone that loves West Hollywood.
I've already had this conversation.
Hello guys, and welcome back to another episode of Haikyuu Adulting, aka the not so serious guide as to how to live your best life. Dude, it has been so long, and honestly, since the last time I recorded an episode in May of 2021 till now, it just feels like nothing has happened, but like everything has happened at the same time. I don't know, time doesn't really exist, which is why it's important to just simply focus on living in the moment and enjoying all of that. I journal all the time and like keep track of my life and vlog and all that stuff. So when I actually look back at my content and look back on the year, I have done a lot, but it's crazy because like jumping on the mic right now and just like remembering the last time I was on the mic, I'm like, yeah. That felt like no time has passed by. You guys have been dying for me to come back onto this podcast. Like at this point, I was bullied, peer pressured into doing this, but I'm not gonna lie, I really do miss the podcast. I miss recording, I miss bringing on my favorite people to talk about their journeys and just to share the mic and have a good ass time because, you know, we can all use a little bit of that. So I made a ton of new friends since being in LA and just connected with more people on a deeper level since the last time I've been recording. So I definitely have so many people lined up already to bring on, which I'm so excited about. And if you guys have any recommendations, feel free to send them to me via IG, via DM, or whatever, and I will be sure to take that into account because we're trying to reach a lot of people this year. I really do feel like my goal with this podcast this year is to expand it to a wider audience. I really did not realize how popular my podcast was becoming. Even after I left the podcast, I continued to gain thousands upon thousands of listens. Those were on episodes that were just already posted to just living on my podcast quote unquote channel. And so I just felt the need to come back. I got so many DMs from people during that time just saying like, hey, you're not on the podcast anymore, but I just recently listened to an episode and it changed my life. And I don't know, that's really crazy and far-fetched in my mind, but I forget that like people listen to these conversations, which is really funny. Enough rambling. I am so extremely grateful to be back. I'm so excited to really get on here and just start doing this thing again. 2021 was a crazy year. I don't know if I'm even gonna do an episode on how LA has been. I think I'll probably touch on it on some podcast episode in the future, but I don't know. I don't know what to say about it, honestly. So many beautiful things happened. So many crazy low things happened. But all in all, we're here. We're making it work. And we're killing it. Still in LA. Still in the same studio apartment. So nothing's really changed on that end. But LA's been good. It's been busy. Tons of opportunities and fun things have come up since the last time I've been on here. So I guess I'm just looking forward to share my life again on here. But today, I have a lovely, lovely guest. Her name is Mary Charles Jones. We are basically sisters because we have the last name Jones, but she is one of the sweetest humans I've met here in LA. We connected over the internet, and we will get more into that on the actual episode, so I won't ramble any longer. Essentially, she's an actor here in LA. She just turned 20 years old, and she's killing it in the acting industry right now as she just booked a series regular role in the new CW show Naomi, which is coming out tonight. So if you guys are listening to the podcast the day that this is released, check out her new show. You're not gonna want to miss it. But yes, I hope you guys have all been well. Be sure to review the podcast if you haven't already, because that is the only form of ratings on podcasts. So it really shows that you guys either like the podcast, hate the podcast, whatever, I don't really care, but do review it. I love you guys so much. I hope you guys are having a great 2022 thus far, and I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Hopefully it works. Oh my gosh, guys, this is ridiculous. Well, we're back with the podcast, and we're here with our first in-person guest.
Oh, hey everybody, my name is Mary Charles.
I'm so excited
to be here, excited to be on the podcast.
This is what the podcast is needed, you know, like your energy, your in-person energy. She's gonna introduce herself, so why don't you do that first?
Okay, well, hi, my name is Mary Charles Jones. It's like Mary-Kate Olsen, mm-hmm. Double first name.
Yes.
I'm an actress who was born in Seattle, but raised in Atlanta. So, amazing. And lived in LA. Now I'm back in Atlanta. Live all over.
Right. There we go. And literally we met off of TikTok, which is crazy. Well, TikTok, Instagram, social media, yeah. Same difference. Yeah. I guess you guys are always asking us questions about me and my friends and everyone who lives here in LA and what they do. So I thought you would be the perfect person to bring on because today, the day that you guys are listening, if you guys are listening the day that this comes out, which is January 11th, 111, angel number moment, Mary Charles has a show coming out. So yes. Why don't you go ahead and promote all of that right
now? Okay, so on January 11th, there's this new show on the CW and it's called Naomi. We're super excited about it. It's a superhero show created by Ava DuVernay. Based off a comic book series from the DC universe that came out in 2019. And I play Annabelle, who is this super funny, a little bit quirky best friend of Naomi. And we're just so excited for you guys to watch it. It comes out at 9, 8 Central. So, yeah.
Yes.
Hope you guys watch.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Please go support and watch the trailer and all that stuff. I will be probably reposting all of that stuff on my story again, so you guys will see it. But, yeah, it's so beautiful to see how kind of this whole thing is just manifested into itself, because I remember the first day that I met Mary Charles, we went out for coffee at Blue Bottle Cafe, and we just had, like, a whole conversation about acting and life and whatever, and she told me about the show, and obviously it hadn't shot or anything yet. You'd already booked it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I'd shot the pilot at that point.
You had.
Pilot, and that
and then
was
you said
it,
you came back.
Hadn't,
yeah,
got picked up at that point. The pilot is the first episode for people who don't know. The first episode you kind of tend to shoot way before the show actually films. So we shot the pilot.
And then you didn't know at that point when you were going back.
Yeah, didn't know when we were getting picked up, going back to Atlanta to shoot. And then we went back and we have 2 more episodes to shoot at this point. So by the time you're seeing episode 1, we are probably shooting episode 12.
Okay, and this is, 12. So you said, wait, there's 12 and 13?
Yes. So we will have 13 episodes total.
Very exciting. Wow. I guess starting at the beginning of your journey, do you want to talk about that first? And then we'll lead up to how this
process of this show. So I've been acting since I was 4, which is a crazy long time to think about.
And you were where at that time?
Still in Atlanta. I was in Atlanta acting at the age of 4. And a lot of it came about from being way too talkative and just having a head that was too big for my body. So
amazing.
They were like, oh, maybe she should
be on TV.
Which I think is a thing that a lot of moms will say to other moms when their kid is really talkative and annoying. Like, oh, they should be on TV.
They should be on a commercial.
So through a process of finding an agency in Atlanta who eventually led me to my agents who are in Los Angeles, I would say my first big role was I played the daughter of the lead on the show October Road that was on ABC.
Fun.
And my cute little story with that, to keep everyone's realistic dreams of the entertainment world real, is I did the first season and I was 6 years old and it filmed in Atlanta. And the second season they said, we're moving to production to LA. Something about budget doesn't really make sense because it's way more expensive to film in LA.
Yeah.
But they moved the production to LA and there's laws about how long you can work when you're a kid.
When you're a kid, yeah.
And they moved the production to LA and called up us and we're like, hey, so an 8-year-old can work another hour, so we're going to fire your 6-year-old and hire an 8-year-old. So I tell people, I'm like, look, you could be on a show for a whole season as a 6-year-old and they will still fire you.
That's ridiculous.
And it's not anything to do with you. It's just to do with
the business,
money and time management, which makes sense. And thankfully, that wasn't my last job. I've gotten to work on a bunch of other cool stuff. But yeah, that's honestly when
that's
I got into
began.
Acting was super young, which was great because I had the support of my parents and my mom was a teacher before she had me. And then when she had me, she stopped teaching and kind of realized as we got older, my sisters and I both act as well. I have 2 younger sisters. And as we started to act, she was like, she's not our momager, but she's kind of like, she's there with us on set and she's super encouraging and helpful. And now that my sisters and I are older, she's actually owns her own little furniture store. She's a small business owner.
So
support your small businesses.
No, for real. We'll plug that as well.
Please.
I feel like your one role that everyone wants to know about was Hannah Montana.
Oh, yes.
So
Hannah Montana. Hannah Montana, I feel like everything has such a fun story with it. But Hannah Montana, I was in school. So I was still living in Georgia at the time. and I was in school. And I remember I got called to the office, and I was terrified. I was.
Were you watching the show at the time?
Hannah Montana was in its. It was in its fourth season. It was about to be its fourth season, and so I'd watched season 1 through 3. Loved the show. I think I saw the Hannah Montana movie in person, and like wore a Hannah Montana wig. I was obsessed.
I remember going to the theater for that.
And every single child was there and was in their sequence. So I got called to the office, and I was freaking out, thinking I was in trouble. Which I was not a bad kid, so I don't know why I thought I was in trouble. And I remember my mom said, get in the car, we're going to LA. And I was so confused. I was like, okay, fun. This sounds great. And it was because there was a role to play young Miley Cyrus on Hannah Montana. And at the time I looked so, and I still like look so similar to her and to her family. And my mom knew, she was like, you just have to be there in person for that. So they need to see how much you look like her. And another thing that I remember, if you ever get nervous in the audition, just know I did that audition and I had hiccups the entire time.
No way.
Like, visible, like, sounding deep hiccups. And I just looked like her and I booked it. And so I did 3 episodes of that show as her flashback. There's the first one of the season, and then there was one in the middle, and then one towards the end that was, they didn't use for the actual cut, but there's an alternate ending of it. Because at the time, I think there was an issue between like tabloids running fake stories on her real parents, which is funny because they air the scene a lot on like Instagram and TikTok, and they're saying like, oh, the alternate ending was that it was all a dream. That's not true. That's not what the writers intended. The writers intended it to be kind of an ode and a honor to her and her real life family. So they used her real mom and her real dad, and they have a scene with me, and I'm like, I'm gonna be a rock star. So it was kind of an ode to her and her real life, and now she is this rock star, and so that was really fun role. Tell people, even if you have hiccups, maybe if you're vomiting, that probably
pro tip work. Look like a celebrity, and if you have hiccups, it'll be okay. Take that.
That's a pro tip.
Talk about kind of like your school life growing up and kind of balancing that with acting, and how did you do that, and then moving to LA afterward.
So with schooling and acting, I think that it really depends on where you live and the school that you're going to, and there's no way around that. In Los Angeles, and I think it might be the whole state of California, there are a lot more laws that support child actors.
I didn't even know like the chess beat, like I didn't know any of that was a thing until moving here.
The main thing that's really helpful in California that they have for students, and I'm not sure the logistics behind it, but it involves the fact that if you were working on a production and you had to miss a day of school, you're not penalized for that, versus in a lot of states, once you miss like 10 days of school, you kind of have to have this hearing, and it's kind of a big deal. Once it gets past that, it's like you got to figure something out, because you can't be at one of our public schools. My sisters and I went to a private school growing up, so private schools can pick and choose, you know, you don't have to be there.
And in Atlanta, right?
And it was in the Atlanta area. And because we went to a private school, they were okay with us coming and going. And so my teachers would send me my work if I ever went to go film on a production, which was super great. And also when you're in elementary school, a lot of it is worksheets. And we had, again, with child labor laws, you have to have teachers on set. So there were people there to help us with our learning, and we never fell behind or felt like we were being gypped. Because some of these teachers are incredible, by the way. These set teachers are fantastic.
That's interesting. I would think that, like, it would be really hard to, like...
There's some awful ones. There are some that I'm like, how did you get certified to do? There are some studio teachers that are so great, and you will end up fighting over them almost with other child actors and be like, no, like, I want her for me to teach me on my show because she's so good. And I think that's why a lot of kid actors get into these huge prestigious colleges. Some of it, I'm sure, is like...
That's interesting.
When you get... Listen, some of it when you're applying is like your extracurricular was you had a full-time job. But also some of it is they have these incredible teachers that are, like, making sure they know how to do the SAT, making sure they know how to do the ACT, and preparing them to get into these prestigious schools. So with my schooling, my school gave me my work back and forth. And then once I got to high school, our administration was like, look, it's kind of difficult to send you your work for high school calculus. So... I did online school for my freshman and sophomore year, because at this time I was working on a show for CBS CBS.
And you were
CBS.
Still in Atlanta. You didn't move until...
When I was I worked on a show for CBS and we filmed in New York.
Oh, okay. So you were just like around the I know. The globe, you know.
So we filmed in New York this show for CBS. It was called Kevin Can Wait, and I was a series regular on it, and I was in, I think we did 24 episodes and I was in 20 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So 20 weeks out of the year, like, I was in New York a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And so I did an online school before it was cool. You know, before everyone before else had to do cool. it. And so I did this online school for my freshman and sophomore year. And then my junior year, the show got canceled, and so I was going to go back to normal school at the private school that I went to, but I still wanted to go out to LA to audition mm-hmm. or have the flexibility if I booked something else to go and do that, but stay at my private school.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some new administration that was actually from California, mm-hmm. so they knew what was up, and they let me take half of my classes online, and the other half, my teachers would either virtually teach or they'd send me work.
Mm-hmm.
So I think with being a kid and trying to balance school and acting, first off, like, balance your education mm-hmm. and don't put it on the back burner
yeah.
because it's so important, especially even if you do something like the job that I have now as an actress. I'm not really using algebra mm-hmm. I'm not using calculus. I'm not using
I think that. It's just a good but discipline it, I mean, it just builds you. You're starting to work professionally at such a young age that you're already expected to be an adult, essentially. But it's like, school is like, I don't want to yeah. do it. But at the same time, I feel like it really disciplines you. And when you're that young, especially elementary, middle school, there are just certain things that you do need to know.
Yeah, you it know? Balances yeah. you out. And even in high school, I think there were just some of the things that my teachers taught me mm-hmm. and discipline wise yeah. that was super helpful. Mm-hmm. And it's important to do a high school education.
Yeah.
The thing that in LA that you talked about, the Chesapeake. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I actually took the Chesapeake.
Yeah, explain to them what that is.
The Chesapeake is a GED test.
For like 16.
And I can't think of how young you can take it. I'm sure there's ways to get around it, and you can take it at like 12. I don't suggest that. But basically in Los Angeles, what happened is once this test came widely available, a lot of network executives were like, oh, well, if I make my 16-year-olds on my show take this test, or I say I'm only going to hire actors that have taken this test,
mm-hmm.
you are treated as an 18-year-old, so they don't have to provide a teacher and they don't have to provide schooling.
And the hours are still...
And you can work as many hours correct. As they need. Right. So, like, a 16-year-old, I think, can work 10 and a half hours, and then 18, you can work as many hours as needed. So, there came a point where all my auditions were saying, are you legal 18 or not? Let us mm-hmm. know, which basically means, have you taken this GED test? So, I went out to LA and I took this test. It's fairly easy. Mm-hmm. It's simple math, simple English, simple science, and I think there's an essay.
Mm-hmm.
Took the test. I took it with other, there were a few other Disney stars there. I'm not gonna lie, and it was hilarious. And went took a test that passed it. However, mm-hmm. I'm gonna be honest. They still like to hire older people because of just the maturity sure. and the age thing. It wasn't like I took the test and then booked everything. Because, oh, she can work as an 18-year-old. Mm-hmm. It is something that they have in California. If you take it, I would say you can still stay in school. That mm-hmm. was a big thing for me, is I took the GED test and I passed it. So I had my GED, but I was still in high school, which I think is important, because that test, you know, that it proves, you know, very, very basic stuff.
Correct.
But it's still important to mm-hmm. get an actual degree, because it's different, especially when you're applying to colleges and stuff. You can't give them your GED.
Yeah.
And I said, look, I took the GED test, but also I graduated high school normal with a mm-hmm. high school diploma. There's a lot of great laws to protect kids.
And it's good. It definitely is good, but it does get complicated, especially because I know that a lot of you guys who are reaching out to me being like, how do I work as like a child actor and this and this and this? And like, it varies per state. It varies per what productions are happening in your state. Because if it's like non-union stuff that's not, you know, certified by the union or anything, it's like, then you can work whatever. But mm-hmm. it's just like, be careful as well. Like, don't get taken advantage of.
Yes, when, I would say, I think that if it's a SAG production, mm-hmm. which is the union, that SAG laws go over the state laws. But mm-hmm. usually the state laws are what you would follow. And
right.
they're all very different also, depending on states that have a lot of production mm-hmm. and states that don't. Just being aware of that. And thankfully I've had some great people that have surrounded me and made sure that I understood those rules
mm-hmm.
and they were helpful all the way up until now.
Yeah.
And being 20 years old and not having to worry about them,
I know,
great.
Finally.
I will say, do not wish that away, because it is so nice for someone to tell you that you can only work 10 hours, because now I'm working 15, 16 hour days, and I'm like, wow, wouldn't it be nice to go home and nap? Wouldn't it be nice? But I love it either way.
Well, okay, so about acting and your whole love for it, because I know you started really young, and I know that there's this, like, thing about child actors starting young and being kind of forced into it, but, like, obviously you said that you liked doing it and whatnot, but, like, was there ever a point where you were like, oh, like, maybe I can try something else, like, maybe this might not be for me? Have you ever had that moment?
So, with acting, since I was a kid, there were many points throughout my life where my parents were super open and honest with me, saying, look, if you don't want to do this, we're gonna stop. If this isn't something that you enjoy and it's not something that you're wanting to do, then do it. And I also think a good thing with my family is that any financial compensation or, like, payments that I received from any of my acting gigs, almost all of it was put away for college, or put away for buying a car when I was older, or put away for rent when I was older. And I'm very thankful for that now. But because of that, there was also no pressure of, oh, if I don't do this, I can't help my family, because we weren't relying on my sisters and I for our, my dad had a job and he was paying the bills, and I never felt like if I said no that it was going to affect anyone other than me and what I wanted to do. So as I got older, there were many checkpoints of, is this something that you want to do? Is this something that you want to do? And I never felt like anything else was what I was supposed to be doing. I will say one thing that I was thankful for is I did a lot of normal kid things with acting. So I was on a soccer team in elementary school. I was on a soccer team in middle school. Did sports, even though I'm not the biggest sports fan. I do love soccer. I think it's so much fun. And my sisters and I worked at a donut shop for a little bit. And at the time, both of us had been on huge series and, like, big productions, but we weren't working at that point. We didn't have a job at that point. And it was this moment of, like, have a real 9-to-5 job, and A, like, see if this is something you want to do, and B, be aware that, like, there's other things that you can do so that when you don't have an acting gig, there's other stuff that you can do with your skills and your time. And I think that's really important, is if you're going to pursue anything in the creative or entertainment sphere.
I was about to dive into that about just, like, having something else, like, to do.
Not only for income-wise, to diversify your income, but also to diversify yourself. And it's not like a, I'm sure that there are some people that are like, I'm studying people, I'm sitting and studying. Like, no, it, have a normal job.
Do something else.
Have a normal job. Try it out. And truly, there's so many people that have been like, oh, wait, I actually love that. And also, you can try something else in the entertainment industry. I know plenty of people who have acted on stuff and then been like, oh, I worked in the art department for this other show. And I love the art department. So I think it's really important, and that was something that I was thankful for growing up in the acting industry. And once, I feel once I was 14, 13, that's when it was fully my decision. And it also became more of my decision when it was prep for your auditions yourself. Like, mom's not making time to read your lines with you. Like, you need to prep for that on your own, and you need to let me know when you're ready to tape, and you need to set it up, and you need to show initiative. Which I think
instead
is super important.
Instead of being, like, forced to do it.
Instead of, like, okay, we're going to set up a time. Here's when you can come and do it. So once it became that, and there truly was a moment during that where I would have to do stuff and I'd be like, I barely learned these lines. And I would bomb auditions, and my mom was like, look, I'm not gonna come and tape you if you don't know your stuff. It's not fair to her, it's not fair to me. And I think one of the first auditions that I was like, wow, I, that was me, was in eighth grade. I did my audition for the show I did on CBS, and I taped that, and I was like, that was me, I knew my lines, I killed that, and I booked the show. So it was showed if you were gonna put in the work. I mean, there were other stuff I put in the work for and I didn't get, so it's not if you put in the work you're gonna get it, but I think that's important to note.
This industry is crazy, if you guys can't already tell. There's just so many ins and outs, and there's so many factors that come into play that sometimes have literally sometimes or most times have nothing to do with you whatsoever. And yeah, so I guess talking about that, so many people are just so discouraged, especially right now, like, there's still the pandemic going on, there's still so many other factors, you know, with people asking, oh, like, do I need to be in a certain place in order to blah, 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 and, like, what is your take on just kind of pushing through if this is something that you know that you want to do? Like, you've already gone past the point of it's just a hobby, but now it's like, this is something that I definitely want to pursue, but just feeling discouraged, what do you have to say about that?
I think the best thing I can say is something that I didn't say. Jason Bateman said this when somebody asked if he would let his kids be actors. And he said, you know, it's hard because acting and there's a few other, I would say, creative careers that are not based on skill level. In terms of, there's a certain point where everyone's kind of at the same skill level. Everyone can play that same, like, moody, mean girl, teenage girl the same. And it comes down to who, what looked like the character that the writer imagined the most, or who did the best audition. And I think a lot of directors are taking up tactics. I know that Ava DuVernay does this as well, who's the executive producer of our show and the creator, is she will take out her top three, four choices. She'll take them out to lunch and see the person behind the actor. And I think that's something that took me a while to recognize when I got older, because it's hard to put yourself out there and be told no, and ultimately 9 times out of 10 you'll see who they cast and they will look nothing like you. And you will go, oh, it didn't matter, because they don't look anything like me. There will be that one time where you're like, wow, she looks just like me. She probably did the same acting as me, but something, for some reason, that was someone that they wanted that day. And I think that's a super calming and encouraging thing in a weird way, to know that you have almost no control at a certain point.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like, you can, I mean, you can go to class all day long, you can do X, Y, and Z all day long, but it's like, I mean, it really is one of these careers where it's not really in your hands. I mean, unless you're creating your own stuff, which I always highly suggest, you're writing stuff as well, like, you can talk about how, you know, but that's also just going back to having something else to do, putting yourself in areas where it's like, you're not putting all this pressure to book something, because it's not really up to you. But when it is right for you, it will be for you.
You know? When it's right for you, it'll be for you. And so many times there were roles that I was passed up on for, and I was devastated because I loved the project, or I loved the writer, or I thought that I was the perfect fit. And either A, I find out from somebody who worked on that, that, like, oh, that project was actually super stressful and it wasn't fun to be on. Or B, if I would have done that project, I might not have been able to do another project or go on this vacation with my family, or get to go and meet this person and do this. So I think everything in that sense works out for its timing, but it is a lot of waiting. And there's a lot of waiting between gigs that I think people don't really talk about as much. The top of the top actors still have to go in for auditions. There are very few actors that it's like, oh, I just got called for this next film and I'm doing it. Like, if you're Leonardo, yes, you are probably not going into an audition room. You ever may, but the only time that you're going in, it's because Brad Pitt is the other option. Like, it's not, you're going in with five other people. But there are top actors, like, right under that are still auditioning, and they still have breaks between projects, and they're waiting for their next gig. And I think that's why I say diversify your portfolio and all of that, because there is moments of breaks between projects, and there's breaks between roles, and they can be 9 years, they can be 8 years. I think between this show and the last show I did, it was, I want to say, three years of doing anything. That's what I'm
saying. It takes time, and, like, there is time in between, and it can seem so, like, oh, Mary Charles just booked a project, like, oh, like, that means
but I'm remember, gonna, yeah, she but booked then, a project the last time was forever ago.
So it's, like, people just don't see that, and I think, was there ever a point during those, you know, that long break where you're like, oh, maybe it's just not gonna come for a long time? Like, did you ever just have, like, this existential, like,
During breaks between projects, I think if you're an actor and you don't have that moment of, am I gonna book again, then I don't, like, I'm good for you. That is amazing. But you do have that moment of, I don't know if I'm gonna book again, and I don't know how long this is gonna take. And to that, I would say that's when you find your other hobbies. Right. That's when you find your other things that make you happy and make you joyful. And either A, whether they're hobbies that you're like, I don't think I can make income from this, this isn't going to provide for me. Or you may be like, oh, I think I could make income from this, and this could be another job. And that's another reason that I think education is so important. I didn't say this, but I was in college. So I'm not in college now. I'm 20 years old. I was in college for a year. And I did it completely online just because of the pandemic, and I was going to be in LA, and I wanted to audition and be able to focus fully on that but still be in college. So I did online school, And when I booked the show, I realized that I wasn't going to have enough time to fully put my education where it needed to be. So I'm not in school now. That being said, if I do this show for 3 years and I'm, you know, 24, 25, that option to go back to school is still there. And I would probably take that option due to the fact that, A, it's something to do. Like, don't knock the fact that, like, yeah, school sucks, but sometimes having something to do that's consistent is so important. I cannot even harp if you on hate that enough. It.
Yeah.
Even if you hate it. And, yeah, you can be like, oh, I go to this workout class every day. And I take this pottery class. That's cool. Like, you have to find those things to fill your day, even if you may not like them in the moment.
Yeah. Because if you're just sitting there, literally sitting on your couch, refreshing your email, like, 24/7 just to see if there's a new audition, new call, you're going to rip yourself apart. Like,
it's not fair to yourself. No. So I have that option to go back to school, but I think that's important, especially for people who are either in high school or in, like, right out of high school, trying to figure out, do I just want to go and act for a year? And I also don't think there's anything wrong with taking a gap year. That was going to be my first option, but with the pandemic and doing school online, I was like, oh, well.
That's essentially what I did, too. Like, I've talked about this in many podcasts previous to this, but about just, like, how I graduated high school a year early, and then after graduating a year early, I was like, okay, well, this is the perfect time to take a gap year, because I didn't know I was going to be graduating early. Perfect time, like, not do anything. So I moved to New York, and that's when I, you know, did all the Broadway stuff, and, like, tried out all of that, figured out I liked film and TV, and then COVID hit. So then went back home, and then that was a point where it was a literally waiting game, and just, like, what am I going to dive into right now? Because there's really nothing to dive into right now, especially, like, all of us creatives who are just waiting to, like, there's a point where no one was on set, like, at all. No one was working. No one was doing anything. Just trying to take care of, you know, bare necessities, getting food, like, water, shelter, like, you know. And that was a really dark period, I feel like, for everybody. But now that we've kind of somewhat figured out how to navigate through this pandemic and just, like, figure out how to make everything coexist with each other, I think now it's easier to, like, oh, I can have a hobby on the side and, like, handle that, but also, like, juggle my love for acting and keep going back and forth and blah 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 blah. I say this because, yeah, like, you talking about education and, like, school's always gonna be there, I feel like everyone's always asking, like, what should I do for me? Like, what should I do for me? Like, can you give me advice? And it really is, like, you having to sit down and figure out what you want. Like, and I tell people this, and I'm like, I know that's not the answer you want to hear. I feel like you want someone to tell you exactly what you need right now. But for you, your entire situation could be completely different than somebody else's. And you don't know when you're going to book versus when someone else is going to book. And you just kind of have to fill up your time the way that you know best. Because at the end of the day, you should kind of know what's best for you. Like, someone can't tell you, like, you should go pick up this job right now just to fill up your time. You know what I'm saying?
Truly, I think something in the creative world, and mostly in LA, I don't know as much about New York, but in LA, is that people will get caught up in their dream and fully realize that, like, you're 18 and you have a long time, but you also have a long time that you have to be able to support yourself. So even with people moving out to LA or moving to New York or moving to a bigger city, I'm always like, look, do what makes you happy and do that joy, but don't be foolish about it because you don't want to have to end up in situations where you're having to choose between something that you love and being able to support yourself.
Yeah, yeah, that's a big important one. And I think that when it comes to people always asking, like, oh, should I move now? Like, I, you know, I'm 18 or I'm about to graduate from high school or I'm coming out of college. Like, again, so many different scenarios. Yeah, you just really kind of have to sit there and make a plan that works for you. Because, I mean, I can't really tell you how to handle your finances. Like, that's your business. That's what you're going to do. And it's going to be completely different than what somebody else does. And I think when it came to me choosing to move to LA, and even now, just, like, figuring out how I'm financially sustaining myself and keeping that alive, literally, and just, you know, making sure there's food on the table, making sure that, you know, my health is taken care of and all, you know, my car is taken care of. Like, you kind of have to prioritize that stuff sometimes over, you know, just the dream of hoping, like, an email is going to come through, you know?
I think there are very few creatives that aren't always hustling. You will not, you know, there's so many people that are like, I have three jobs or I do this and this and this. And I think a cool thing that my friend told me, who is a dancer, she told me, she had a teacher tell her, listen, if you're a creative, find a way for someone to pay for your creativity in that sense. So she teaches dance classes to 6- and 7-year-olds and does that.
I literally did that too. And it's fun. So it's like, there's always a time and place for when you should be working. Like, the universe is going to let you know when that's going on. But in the meantime, it's important to fill your time up with things that just genuinely make you happy. And sometimes I just have to remember like, for myself, that, like, the world doesn't revolve just simply around acting, you know? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, once you
it's
enjoy...
It's a thing that we say on set a lot, and there's other sets that'll say it, and it sounds funny, but they will literally go, we're not saving lives.
Yeah.
When you get stressed, like, you're not saving lives, and that doesn't... I don't think there's any job that's less valuable than another job. Like, everyone needs entertainment, and creativity is such an important part of human life. But there's so many reasons to go, you know what, let me calm down, let me sit down and realize that, like, today is just a day.
Correct.
Especially when you're young. I think that was something that I got caught up with when I was 16, 17, is I was, why am I not working on these big projects? There's so many other young people my age working on these big projects. There are actors that are 70 years old
that
and they started acting at 60.
Yeah.
And they're winning Tonys and Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
There's never going to be the right time, and there's never going to be enough time, and there's never going to be too much time. You're going to be fine. Take a breath. It's all good.
About filling up your time, because we were just talking, we kind of dabbed into it a little bit, but about, like, writing, I know that you write as well. So do you want to talk about just kind of how you just started doing that? Was it because you saw that there was a space for you to kind of create, or would you just need something to do on the side, or
what? I think my television and film writing came from... honestly needing another place to put out my creative outlet. I do music, but it's more for myself, and I would love to pursue it way more in the future, but I think a lot of actors, you'll see, I guess the biggest example is Olivia Rodrigo, which I love her. And I think the best example is of her, if she was an actress and she got to a point where she was like, I do this music thing, not many people know about it. I'm gonna share a few on Instagram, I'm getting some good feedback, and from that, because record labels found her music easier, they can hire her. And you know, I'm not as well versed in the music world and how all of that works. I know people in it and they tell me about it and I pretend I understand what they're talking about, but I will say with music and with television and film writing, a lot of that came from needing another place to express my creative outlet, and a lot of it is a different way to practice, almost. A different way to practice acting. And with script writing, it was one of those things that came so naturally because I had had the opportunity to read so many scripts from age. I feel like the first time I started reading the full script would have been at like 10. You don't always get the full script, which is very annoying. That is another thing that I used to not do, and I don't know why. But when I was younger, if I got a full script, I wouldn't read it. I would just read the sides. That was out of laziness, and I shouldn't have done that. But now, anytime I get an audition, I'm so excited.
I love reading the full script. Yeah, it's fun.
Because, A, it's fun.
You get so much more context.
And, B, you can understand a character a lot better. So I love the writing of that, and that's a good thing that kicks up my time. And I'm a very much, I'm an introverted extrovert, so I like hanging out with people, but I, after it, am dead, and I'm like, I need to hide for 3 days.
Felt that.
So I think that was a thing when coming to LA. So that's why I know so many people, because people are busy in LA. I think that's something that you could have 30 friends and three of them aren't doing something because they're hustling. Like I said, everyone's hustling. They either are working on a job or they're going to this or they're going to that, versus when you're in high school or when you're in a college town, you have that sort of set times where it's like, oh, everyone's free at this time. My friends who work in the music industry are never free on the weekends because they work on the weekends. They're free on Tuesdays and Wednesdays when I'm not free. So I think that's important. And we talked earlier, I think something in LA, and even in any sort of town, is DMing people and reaching out to people on the internet is
scary.
People
are so embarrassed
You are so embarrassed. There's no way. I don't think I'll ever not be embarrassed.
Really? That's, like, my thing. That's why I reached out to you. Because everyone, that's the one thing that everyone will say about me. They're like, Jada, you just know how to reach out to people.
She knows how to reach out. I will do it, and I will be so embarrassed when I press send.
Why?
But I think the thing is that you can meet someone, do it, like, you know, be safe, do it somewhere public, do it something during the day, don't be stupid, but also you can meet someone and, oh, I went to coffee with so and so, and you can hate it, and that's fine, and then you don't have to see them ever again.
Yeah, that's why I just don't take it seriously at all, because I'm like, oh, I
it's
found
sort
someone's
of like
TikTok.
Tinder date.
It really is.
It's sort of like Tinder date.
It really is, and I think I think I'm the perfect amount of extroverted to a point where, like, I can also tell if, like, someone's just not meeting my energy and I really will not see them again. I've literally gone on so many coffee dates, breakfast dates, whatever, with people, you know, and just to, like, meet them and see what their energy was like. And I was like, I'm not going to see them again. And that's okay.
That's nothing. That doesn't necessarily be right. Something against them or something against you. And that's also why I think people say LA is so such a small world. There's so many people that'll go on their Instagram and it'll be like, oh, so-and-so follows them.
You
are like, what? But it's because everyone's like, oh, I've seen them once. And you're not friends with everyone. No. But you may know them and you may say hello to them. And you may go meet this person just because you want to have more friends. Yeah. Because it's big cities are very easy to feel isolated and
lonely.
Alone.
With so many people around you 24/7, you can still feel so lonely. Yeah.
It's very important to have other people around you, whether that is friends, whether that is family, and having a good support system behind you is super valuable and important.
Yeah, I mean, I cannot stress that enough. I even put that in my recent, like, Q&A on my channel, because I was like, I literally could not have gone through the past couple months without a good support system. Like, that was so needed, and especially moving here, or to LA, wherever, like, even going to college, like, moving somewhere for the first time on your own and, like, actually experiencing life, adulting life, you know, on your own, it's so different, and you're literally, it's almost like being like 2, 3, or 4 years old again, when you're just like picking up everything that you see and just being like, oh, this does work for me, this does not work for me, and just experimenting with everything. And that's great, but there's something to be said about keeping your core people and finding people that are really just about you as much as you're about them, you know, instead of just inviting everyone into your space, because it's so easy to just like want to cling on to everything.
People in LA will sometimes try to deny the fact that like it's a very influencer and follower culture might not be the right word there, but it's very driven by influencer and followers in certain senses. When people tell me that, A, there's certain areas of LA.
I know,
like,
I'm
that.
Like, you're putting
you're
yourself
talking about
in
West
that
Hollywood.
Area.
Yeah. I'm sorry to anyone who lives in West Hollywood. I'm sorry to anyone that loves West Hollywood.
I've already had this conversation. Yeah.
If you say you hate LA, you probably went to Venice, Santa Monica, or
West
Hollywood.
There's so much culture here, and I feel like people just completely deny that fact because you see, like, again, I'm referencing my entire Q&A video that I just filmed because I literally had this exact conversation, but it's about you're seeing, especially if you don't live here, you're seeing LA through the lens of an influencer,
you're
and that's
LA
all
through
you
the people
see.
That you want to pick it
that's
to see
all
through.
You see. And I feel like people put so much pressure on like making these core best friends like you need to have the entire time, and then you just kind of like
listen, the movies lie.
No, and it sucks because like we want that. Like it's like,
there's no
it,
person who in their right mind isn't like, wow, you know, in the movies how they all have like their two best friends and they're like a group,
it's
and it's so
thing.
Much fun. That's
yeah.
not a thing. It's very rare, and I think that took I'm still learning that about you're not you
Agreed.
Might not have a best friend, but there's nothing wrong with that, and there are people that have those people, and that's wonderful, and that's so joyful. But you can have a bunch of friends, and you can see them for different things, and you can have friends that are older than you can friends that are younger than you, and they're all there to add something else to your character and add something else to your world. And I think that's important
that's
to
great.
Realize that you don't have to have that one best friend, especially when you are out of your small town and adulting in life.
Like, you're growing up, you're experiencing new people, like, 24/7. It's okay to not have them all be your best friends.
Yeah,
like, it's okay. Yeah. Oh, well, okay, so I guess one thing that we should dive into is finally your booking story for Naomi.
Yes.
I feel like people want to hear the story because it's a good story because, well, I already know it, but I want her to explain it. But it just teaches you a lesson about just letting things happen for you, but also taking the initiative to make something happen for you. Sometimes it doesn't always have to be in someone's hands, and you know what I'm talking about when I say that, so go for it.
When I send in an audition, my main thing is I will send it in and forget about it, and it's so hard, especially if you audition for a project that you
love so much,
and that you read it and you're like, this is so cool, or the people that are making this are so incredible. Send it in and forget about it. There are a few that I honestly, if there's a project that I didn't forget about, I probably didn't book it. And I don't know what that says, but you just need to tape it, send it in, and let it go. My audition with Naomi, I sent it in.
It was during the pandemic, right?
Maybe in February
of 2020.
February 2021? Of 2021.
Okay.
Yeah, in February of 2020.
So almost a year ago.
Almost a year ago, I sent in my audition for Naomi. And I remember one of my friends had the same audition, and she was, I think she's, at the time she was 24, and I was 19.
Mm.
And she does not look like me. She's blonde. She's taller. And I knew at the time that they weren't sure what they were looking for, which happens a lot of the time. And I think that's why it sometimes can be valuable to ask it, hey, has anybody else seen this tape? If your friends or other actors, just so that you can know, like, oh, they don't know what they're looking for. So I don't need to stress because they have no clue. So I sent in my tape in February and I didn't hear anything back, but I had forgotten about it truly. And in March, I got an email from my agency in Atlanta, because this project films in Naomi films in Atlanta, and I got an email from my agent in Atlanta that said, hey, audition for Naomi for the character Annabelle. And so I emailed them back and said, hey, I already auditioned for this. Is this a callback? Do they want me to retape with different notes? And they emailed me and were basically like, oh, just kidding. It says if you've already auditioned, don't audition. So at that point, they were re-looking for the character because they still hadn't found anyone that fit the role of Annabelle. And I loved the character Annabelle, and I felt like I could give her such a good read. And at this point, they had casted our lead. Our lead is Casey Walfall, and she was 16, I think, at the time of our pilot. Or 17. She was 16 when we filmed our pilot.
And she
plays a 16-year-old. So once I saw that they had casted her, I said, I gotta retape, guys, because my audition, I read it a lot older due to the fact that it was CW, and CW tends to have these older kids playing these high schoolers, not quite as far as Euphoria goes, but in terms of shows like Riverdale
and
All American, it's these older kids that are playing high school. So I played everything a lot older, assuming that they would cast their lead as older.
But the show has actual, like,
but the show, all of us are, I think our oldest is actually 28, but she looks super, super, super
I know who you're
young.
Talking about. Yeah, she
super
does.
Super young. She's so kind too. But all of us are pretty young. And so I asked my agents in Los Angeles, I said, look, I saw that they casted the lead and that she was 16. Can I retape? And they were like, we don't know. We're trying to get in contact with them. And a lot of the times, if I want to retape for something, I will go ahead and tape for it, and I'll send it to my team, because it's a lot easier for them, once they get the yes, to go ahead and send it, versus if they get the yes, now they have to tell you, yes, you can retape. Now
Wait
you have to retape,
yeah.
then you have to email it to them. So if you want to retape for something, like, go ahead and tape it and send it to them and be like, look, if you can't get it into them, that's fine, but here's a retape that I sent. So I went and retaped it. I think I retaped with my sister, actually, my middle sister, Maggie. We retaped and sent it to my agents, and they said, look, we're trying to get them to watch it, but they really don't want to watch people who already auditioned. Finally, after begging, we got the casting director to rewatch my tape. And I think the next morning I was sleeping, and I keep my phone on quiet when I go to bed because I don't want to be waking up, and it's good for my mental health. And I was sleeping, and I wake up and I look at my phone, and I had, like, I think 3 missed calls from my agent and 3 from my manager, and I was freaking out. I was like, what did I do? I'm so upset. I'm sorry. So I called them, and they said, look, they watched their tape, and they want you to do a Zoom chemistry read with the lead today.
Damn.
And I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. It was super fast, because at this point, like I said, I had auditioned in February. So they still hadn't found this character, and they were going to film the pilot in April, so they needed to find someone.
Yeah.
It was March. And so I auditioned, and they liked it, so they were going to set up a Zoom with me in the lead. And I think we were going to do the Zoom at 3. I knew that I needed to leave the house, because if you sat and you waited for that 3 o'clock time, I was going to get stressed, I was going to get worried. I knew the sides, like the back of my hand. It was 5 scenes, which is a lot.
That's a lot.
It was a lot.
Were they shorter, at least?
They were not shorter. They were a lot. Goodness. They was a lot. Because I think my character on the show is in the show a lot. She plays the best friend of the lead, and I'm in every episode, and she also is the comedic relief, so they wanted to see if I could improv. So, which is not something that they will ask a lot of. Some writers will say, look, I wrote these words, you better say them. Like, they mean a lot to me, and I wrote them for a reason. And other writers will say, these words mean a lot to me, but you as the character, I want you to improv and feel free with that. So my Zoom was at 3 for my chemistry read. So I went to go get a coffee and see my friend so that I could not be thinking about it. And as I'm on the road, sure enough, my agent calls me and says, look, they want to do it at noon.
Oh, no.
And I think I was 15 minutes from home and it was 11. Maybe 11:30. It was really close. Dang. And so I said, look, I'm like not at home right now because I didn't want to be stressed, which they understood. And I said, I can do it at 12:30. So I drive home, set it up. Also with setup, please do not be stressed with your setup. This is like a side note. Do not be stressed with your self-tape setup. If you are, go watch the Stranger Things kids auditions.
Right. Oh, yeah.
They're literally on laptops.
Yeah.
If you know, like, okay, granted, like, make it look nice, make it look but kind it doesn't of okay. have to, you don't have to spend $8,000 on 3 lights, and don't use it, like, you don't have to use a camera. Mm-hmm. Use your iPhone.
You're right.
Super easy, AirDrop. I use an iPhone and a ring light, and that's it. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Just make sure the angle is correct for what they ask. Yes. They usually tell you what kind They'll of framing they want. They'll usually tell you
what framing they want.
But other than that, you're solid. Yeah. Yeah.
So I went home, and I set up my Zoom setup, which is basically my laptop, me, a ring light, and my five scenes of sides. And I waited, and I got on the Zoom with Casey, who plays Naomi.
And that was
Naomi.
Your first time meeting her, right?
And it was my first time meeting her. Chemistry reads are usually in person, so it was super weird to do it over Zoom. But she was already in Atlanta at this point. I think she has a bunch of different hairstyles, and they were checking wardrobes. Mm-hmm. They were doing a lot of camera tests with her there. So I do a chemistry read with her, and I think we did a lot. I think we did each scene maybe 2-3 times.
Dang. Oh my gosh.
And we did all 5 of them. And then at the end, because my character had so much faith and they wanted someone to improv, the casting director gave me a topic that would pertain to the show and said, okay, I want you to improv with the lead right now, like a scene. And we did that, and I was super stressed. But I also knew that it was coming because of the fact that it was a comedic character, and a lot of times they'll ask for that or expect that. Did that, and I think one of the great things about Ava and her casting team and a lot of newer casting teams, not newer casting teams, but a newer thing that's happening is they, at the end, started just asking about me. They asked me what work I had done before. They asked me what I like to do outside of acting. Mm-hmm. They asked me what my love of comedy came for and or my background in it, which they knew this information. They knew what I was, they knew what I had done. They looked me up, but it was seeing if I could carry on a conversation and sort of what my spirit behind myself was. And also because it was unexpected, that, you know, puts you on a, oh, this is surprising, unexpected. Right. So I did that, did the Zoom, ended the Zoom, and was like, I think I did great.
Yeah, how did it feel? Do you remember?
I was like, I think I did the best that I could. Mm. The lead was super great, and I knew that they were reading a Nathan after me. I don't remember which, if it was Daniel who got booked the role, if it was someone else. I know that they had read another Annabelle before me, and I said, you know what, like, it's out of my hands again. And I think that night was when I went to testing, which in terms is basically you negotiate what the contract would look like for the show, and there's probably you, and either it's just you or there's you and like 2 other people. And it went over the weekend. It took forever. Oh, I wasn't hearing anything, and I was so stressed. And then I finally got the call. I don't think I've told the story, but I was texting my little sister, Lillian, like, sitting on the couch, and I get a call from Lillian, my youngest sister, and I hang up on her, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to talk to her right now. And I get a call from a random number, which I would never answer. Never would answer. But because I was testing, I was like, it could be someone from the network. It could be one of my agents on a weird phone. So I answer it, and I get this call on this. It's Ava DuVernay, and she calls me, and she goes, hi, this is Ava. And I'm like, I know which Ava this is.
Yeah.
And I was like, why are you calling me? And I think one thing that's really special about Ava is that she doesn't quite say, like, you booked the role. She says, would you like to create, I think she said something along the lines of, would you like to play Annabelle and help us create this show? And I think that creates a really great environment with all of us, and that it's not just our writers and our executive producers project. We're all putting something in, from someone who's in the props department to one of our grips to our actors or our costumes, our hair, our makeup. They're all putting something into the show, and that makes it so much better when it comes out and as you're working on it, because you want it to do well.
Yeah.
So that was the weird audition process that I had. A very last minute, And again, I started that process in February and didn't hear anything for almost a month before I started it back up. And a lot of it did come from me saying, look, I think I'm the right person for this. And I think that if we ask them and they watch it again, at least I can give them, almost help them in a way of like, I think this is what you guys want. So I think that was really important. And knowing, and there's very few times that I will say I want to retape or ask again if they've seen
that's
the
what
tape.
I meant about like taking the initiative though, because it's like when you feel I don't think even I've had this conversation with my manager too, and I don't think it's necessary for every single audition for you to be like, oh, like let me overthink it and let me retape. But there are those specific times, and I've also done it once or twice for two roles that I really knew I was like, yeah, like this could be it. You just feel the need to retape, and you feel like, oh, there could be a different thing that you
retape
can bring to it.
Or ask it. Have you heard anything?
Yeah, and like, and sometimes it literally works in your favor, as we've seen. So you know, I feel like it's just about trusting yourself, trusting your gut, but also being like, I've already put myself, you know, my best self
let
forward.
It go.
Let it go. Yeah.
It's gone. And Elsa's right. Come on, queen from Frozen.
Let it go.
I think that was so beautiful.
Yeah.
But that was the process of booking Naomi. It was a really special experience.
I love that.
And very quickly after that, they were like, get on a plane. We need you in Atlanta basically tomorrow.
Yeah.
We needed you here yesterday, I think was one of the terms around that. We did a Zoom table read. And the Daniel Puig, who plays Nathan on our show, actually booked the role of Nathan, and then after he booked the role, they asked him to get on the table read.
Oh,
like,
wow.
He booked the role day of our table read, so we were very last minute in that sense. But not, I don't think anything came by last minute or rushed. I think it was that's when that timing was right, and that's when that character and that role came out. And I think the cool thing about our show is there's people who are on our show who have worked for many years. Barry Watson's on our show, and he was a child actor, and he's I want to say he's in his 40s. He may be older than that, actually, so compliments to him. But and there's people on our show who have never worked before.
Wow.
And this is their first show.
That's
and
beautiful.
I think that's
yeah,
you get caught up when you see the same faces and the same stuff, and trust me, there's networks that pull the same people. Disney has sort of back-end contracts where they have to pull the same people.
Yeah.
And companies like Netflix
like to work with
the same people. And it can get discouraging because it's like, oh, I say I would, during when Noah Centineo was on every single Netflix movie, I felt for any white boy with brown hair that looked any bit like him. Because you send in a tape and you know, like, he's going to be asked before you. And I think there was, I had an actor friend who had his Twitter bio that said something like, I'm who they call if they can't get Noah Centineo. Like, I'm
so
the backup.
Funny.
But I think that's important when you see stuff of like, oh, these big actors are getting all the roles. That's not, that's what you see because you see them a lot. But there are so many roles.
There's so many. Again, like, going back to Noah Centineo because we're already talking about him. But, like, he can't film every project. Like, he's doing stuff, but, like, he can't be filming every project. So they are always going to need something for something. So don't get discouraged. Yes, I feel like the last question I have to ask you now is, I always put people on the spot for this one and they hate when I do it. But you'll be fine.
I'm so nervous.
I don't know why you're nervous. Your top adulting tip for the listeners today.
Can I give a dumb short fact?
Do it, yeah.
This is my best adulting tip. Is set up your bills for automatic payment. And it's so annoying.
That's a good one.
And you'll hate it. But then when you get your checks from, like, your job and you already knew, like, look, this percentage of that's getting taken out. You're like, you don't have to worry about not paying those bills. Because I have not paid a water bill and then you get paid.
Dude,
I have not paid a water bill and I get extra money. I get extra money on top of it and you hate it. And it's something that you can avoid. And it's the same thing with, like, this is stuff that my dad has instilled in me. So shout out to my dad.
Go dad.
Same thing with the credit card stuff. I think people, when they're young, especially because you don't learn a lot of this stuff in high school, is like, don't collect debt.
Don't
run up your credit card.
No.
Don't bite off more than you can chew. I was watching something. I can't even remember what it was. And it was this influencer person. And they had bought, I think they hadn't bought, they were renting this huge house.
And that happens a lot here.
And that happens a lot here. People rent and they lease. You know, to each their own. I think it's important. I rent an apartment, but nothing outside of, like, what is reasonable. And you have to kind of think of, like, look, I'm 18. I want to be able to support myself when I'm 30. I always think of everything as, like, okay, when I'm 30.
Yeah.
When I'm 30, when I'm 30, which isn't that, 30 is not old at all. 30-year-olds, no. I'm going to be 30 and I'm going to be living my best life. Trust me. Yeah. Oh, I would say for adulting, even if you live with a roommate, but more so if you live by yourself, which both of us live by ourselves, is to have something that you're constantly doing every day. It could be something as small as a walk. It could be something as big as you have this class every day. I took guitar lessons once a week.
No way.
By the way, it was a kid's guitar lesson. Like, I had learned nothing. It was, there were other kids. It was themed with, like, ninjas.
And oh, my goodness.
It was so much fun, by the way. Shout out to my guitar lessons. But having something that you can constantly do every day, because if not, you can get in a funk and you can truly drive yourself insane. And even if you're going outside to go on a walk and you see other people, you don't have to be interacting with other people if you're like, I don't want to interact with other people. But you're seeing other people and it is building and you're growing as as a person. So I would say have something of one thing, either one thing a day and then one thing weekly. Those are probably good, like,
that's
tag.
No, that's
one
really
thing
good.
A day that you're like, I gotta go do this every single day. It doesn't have to be workout. Yeah, like, I'm not like let me go to the gym and lift some weights, guys. One thing that you're doing every single day and then one thing a week that you're constantly doing. I feel like those are,
yeah, I love that,
good adult advice.
We had a whole ass episode. It does not feel like we've been sitting here for that long.
It doesn't.
No, it feels like we've just been chatting and catching up. But now we've got to chat and catch up off the air. So we're going to end this episode now. Go ahead and shout out your socials.
I'm not a very plug person, but
plug.
At the moment, on Instagram and on Twitter, it's under Real Mary Charles. You can follow me there. I love Instagram. I'm very, keep Instagram casual, but also keep it kind of fun.
I will link it down below as well. So, yeah.
Twitter, Real Mary Charles. I have a TikTok. It's under Mary Charles
Jones. The best one, by the way.
It's a little bit random on there, but we do post some fun stuff from behind the scenes for Naomi, which will be coming out. And that's
coming out today.
That's my last thing, is that watch Naomi. It's on the CW on Tuesday nights at 9/8 central. And thank you so much for having me.
Oh, this is so fun. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode, and I will see you guys, or you guys will hear me next week.
If you listened this far and you left a review, at the end of the review, can you tell me what your favorite fruit is?
That
I love strawberries.
Okay, I love pineapples. Pineapples are my favorite.